Good morning, good afternoon, and kompanwa, wherever you are in the world. I apologize if the audio is a little weird. I don't have my earphones right now, so I'm just speaking to my phone like a little phone call podcast situation. But we're going to go ahead and give it a few more minutes, maybe 1 or 2 minutes, to wait for folks to stop by, you know, move in from stream. Maybe I'll post something on YouTube. I'll continue to troubleshoot my internet. Who knows? We'll see. But welcome in. Hello, JD. Hello, Eugen. Hello, Oishizo. Hello, let me see. Jerry. Oh my gosh. All the usernames are cut off. Hello, Ahmad. Welcome in. Hello, Jerrymon. Hello, Demon Warrior. Hello, Simon. Welcome in. Hello, Super Dark Aqua. Welcome in. Hello, Blazer. Welcome in. Hello, Kector. Welcome in. Hello, Advent. Sang. Absolutely. Welcome in. Ta-da-dum. Okay. Well, while folks come in, for those who don't know, I unfortunately, for the past half hour or so, I've been battling YouTube, it looks. Oddly enough, my internet speed looks just fine, a little bit slower than usual, but nothing I would consider not streamable. I think I've had my internet worse, and I've streamed before, but I don't know, I just happened to be whenever I try to stream to YouTube, so... for those who don't know, if you're not a member of the channel, I also had a little bit of a YouTube streaming issue the other day. But today, I guess it was a lot worse than normal. So we are doing a short version of my goal-driven project management, I guess, lecture. Now it's just a talk because I don't have a, whatchamacallit. I don't have a chalkboard today. So we'll see. Yes, time to get wisdom. Exactly. And I can go ahead and... You can go ahead and chat here. I might be a little slow in checking in that I'm giving a talk, if you will. But I'll go ahead and answer questions, anything like that, as we go. And don't worry, yes, the space is recorded for those who, you know, want to listen in later. I will be doing a full version of this on my channel once, I don't know, my YouTube situation works out. But... that will have, I guess, visuals and things like that, but I don't really have an outline for this. I was going to speak extemporaneously about this subject. I'm very passionate about this subject because I'm passionate about what I do as a content creator, so I was just going to speak extemporaneously with, like, a chalkboard, and I made a sample database for you all to look at, but unfortunately, I'm just going to have to work with what I have. And what I have is my voice, and hopefully I'm pretty good at explaining things. But goal-driven project management. So why goal-driven specifically? Now, for those who don't know, I've actually done a project management panel before at Off-Kai Expo talking about how I manage my projects as, you know, as a content creator. And I've really, as I've kind of continued to work on more projects, I've tried to find ways to continue to improve my processes and how I view not just my day-to-day, I guess, tasks and goals, but also the larger goals and tasks and things like that. And I sat in on a workshop, I can't remember how long ago, months now, it's been months since I sat in, and I got to learn about this really fascinating framework, this content strategy, I guess, if you will, that I thought was a very useful way of thinking about your content. And I kind of took that concept and built that into how I do all of my project management. Now, the last time I've done project management talks with you all, I think previously I was on Trello, not sponsored. But now I kind of, in the past few months, almost I think 6 to 8 months now, I've been moving over to Notion, not sponsored. So if you want to also, you know, start managing your project management on Notion, I highly recommend, you know, maybe tuning in for the full lecture and, you know, let me know what you think, and you can learn how to, whatchamacallit, manage your own, I guess, projects like that. So I'm actually going to search up a list of reasons why I started moving over to Notions. Let me see. I wrote it down. I had all of my pain points. So the reason why I wanted to move from, I guess, Trello to Notion is that I really wanted to bridge the gap between my goals and what I'm doing to reach those goals. Like, are my projects aligning with my goals? Am I, you know, of course you can't think about it all the time. Sometimes you just want to play games and things like that, but in the grand scheme of things, are the things that I'm doing lining up with my goals? And that's the reason why I started to move towards a more comprehensive project management platform, similar like Notion. Because for Trello, you're kind of, it's more of like just a Kanban board, but Notion, I think, is a lot more, things like a database, I guess, is more comprehensive. So a couple other gaps I identified in trying to create this new system for myself, I guess kind of like a lack of understanding of my personal bandwidth, right? How much time do I have to contribute to my work? But also, how many projects do I have at any given time? How many tasks do I have? How many projects do I have running concurrently? Being able to visualize that was really important for me, and that's why I created this sort of database. I wish I could show it to you all. It's so fun. Let me check my chat as well. Here we go. I'll check it once I go over all the gaps. I'm really bad at finding places to stop and go over things. Another gap that I identified in my personal, I guess, project management is I found myself having multiple sources of truth. I would do like project workbooks on Google Drive, but then I would have certain cards on Trello, but then I'd also still have like notes on Notion. So I really wanted to be able to have one place to be my source of truth. And that's not making it a like document storage, like this isn't a repository or anything. I use Drive to store my big project files and things like that, but Notion is where I do my ideating, my planning, and my communication with like my manager, for example. So really wanted to bring it all into one place, right? Communication and what do you call it? Brainstorming, things like that. Dependencies is a really big one. Really understanding what tasks other tasks are dependent on, such as like in order to get this mix done, I have to have this recording done, etc. But not only being able to show those dependencies between tasks, but also being able to adjust them, right? Because before I would show calendars and timelines like on a Google Doc or something, I would have like a visual timeline. But being able to manually adjust timelines and then have other tasks around it be automatically adjusted in terms of their deadline and things like that. That was another reason why I decided to really fix my framework. And then the major one, though, is making sure that my tasks and my projects are goal-driven. And that's why today we are talking about goal-driven project management. Now, I talked a little bit about that. Before I talk a little bit about what that goal-driven framework looks like, I'm going to go ahead and check my chat. I finished my opening rambling, as one does. Welcome in, Ren. Thanks for stopping by. Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. Welcome in. Good luck. Thank you. I'm a little nervous because I wasn't sure if I'd be able to talk eloquently about this subject without visuals, but hopefully it'll come across, and I will take questions as I talk more. I've barely talked yet, so we'll go from here. So the workshop that I sat down in talked about this content strategy called the 3H content strategy. And what those three H's are help. Well, let me reverse them. It's hero, hub, and help. And those are the three kinds of content, or the three, I say three kinds of content, but I'm also going to use the word kind or type a little bit later. But for now, I'll stick with that verbiage. It's three kinds of content that you'll create on your channel. Hero is your big tentpole events, right? These are big events, kind of things that you put a lot of effort into, and don't happen very often because you put a lot of effort into that. So, for example, for VTubers, this would be your. Let me actually pull up mine. Let me pull up my board, my Notion. Your hero content is going to be your original songs, your cover songs, big event streams. For those who don't know what my event streams would be, these would be like my game shows, my trivia shows. I also put things like my Mental Illness Awareness Week stuff in here, my like charity streams, things like that. Long form videos, so not like clips of streams, but like if I wanted to do a like for example, one of the ideas I want to do is a Prism News show. So I would put that in here. And then conventions is another thing I would put under hero content. So those are your big like tentpole content, right? That's the big high effort, high production, high energy. Doesn't happen very often, but it's kind of like something you look forward to every few months or something like that. My lecture is very fascinating. I'm happy to hear so. Never known a non-eloquent reader. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm happy to hear it's good so far. Do let me know if you have any questions, and I'll try to pause every once in a while to answer questions. So that's the first kind of content, hero content, right? That's the first H. Second H is your hub content. Now, this is your regularly scheduled programming, right? It's your regular stream content. Under here, I have streams. So whether it's thumbnails or schedules, kind of just my upkeep, right? My whatchamacallit, my housekeeping. I also put stream clips under here. The things that you see on YouTube, Shorts, or TikTok. I also put short form, trending short form content, specifically TikToks. Like if there's any trends, I'll put that here. And then any collaborations that I do with other VTubers, I keep track of it in there. And then I have my help content, which is things like topical short form content. So, for example, Genshin, lore explainer, explainers, explainers, explanations, Honkai Star Rail explanations. I also do a lot of, I do a couple of like, I do a, some, I used to do this before, not as often anymore, but like psychology or like mental health. Like dips and deep dives into like video games and anime that I watch. And then also I put my personal and professional growth. So things that I do for Prism that I just as a member of Prism, I wanted, of course, rising tides raise all ships, right? So I put things in here that I want to do for Prism to kind of lift us all up, but also my personal growth, things that I want to learn. If I do have time to learn extra things, that's where I put that there. That I have my like personal professional growth section. That's what that and those are the three kinds of contents. Your hero content. Let me go ahead and make sure I have this all properly explained. Jot this down. Yes, so hero content is your high quality, high production tentpole events. Your hub content is your regular programming, and help content is evergreen content that people can search up at any time and go to for information at any time. So like, oh, what are curios in Honkai Star Rail? Or explain to me chapter one of Genshin Impact. So the idea behind understanding what, I guess, label a certain project or piece of content falls under is you want to think about your balance, right? So when you're creating a video, think of the purpose behind it. Are you trying to bring in new people? Are you trying to connect with your current audience? And it's just a great way of thinking to balance your content, right? You don't want to always be doing hero content and not have something for your audience to regular enjoy regularly while you're preparing. You don't want to always just be working on hub content and stagnate, right? Not have things, exciting things for your audience to look at. But of course, you want to give back to your audience. That's what the help content is for. You want to spread that wisdom, encourage others to create, encourage others to be part of your creator environment. Because I that was another thing that they talked about in the workshop, is that the creator environment is changing in a way that no one's really just a viewer anymore, right? People, you know, are going to be remixing your stuff, or are going to be making TikTok challenges with your TikToks, right? People are going to be commenting and, you know, mixing and remixing and making challenges about your challenges, things like that. You really want to encourage people to join that environment, right? Whether it's creating content of their own or, I don't know, interacting in a sort of way. I don't know. I feel like that's one of the exciting parts about being a content creator, is that you get to interact with everyone that way. But that sort of, I guess, content or goal type has become the new basis and foundation of how I manage my projects. It's really cool once you go into the database, because everything is set up kind of around that. And I'll kind of talk about how I'm trying to think about how I should describe this verbally. I guess I'll talk about how my database is set up. So for those who don't know, I guess the verbiage of database, I think generally we all understand what a database is. It's like a structured set of data, right? And that data in this case is the tasks that I have. That the tasks under each project, the things that you need to do to get stuff done. So imagine it's just a very structured set of task data. When you have a database, you have this idea of a view. And it's basically what it is, what it sounds like. A view, it's kind of a result of a question you ask your database. We call that a query. So I'm sorry if this gets too technical, but I structured the views of my database, right? How you can view this data, right? The different ways that you can view this data, right? I structured that around the various ceremonies, I guess, the various meetings that I have with myself or with my managers. And it helps me in seeing what I need to see when I need to see it, right? Because when I'm having a weekly meeting with my manager, I'm not going to have, I don't need to look at all of the things that I'm working on right now. We only need to focus on like the higher level stuff or things that are in progress, things that have blockers on them. I only need to be looking at that stuff. Whereas if I'm opening up my database and I'm trying to see what I need to do for the day, I really only need to see the things that are assigned to me, that are coming up soon, that are in progress or not started. I'm gonna pause real quickly so I can catch my breath, get some water. I have my apple jelly. I'm gonna check the questions. Where would your bleach covers categorize? It was pretty big, but it seems like it's evergreen too. I would classify that under hero content. That's a great question. Under cover songs. Mm-hmm. Oh no, I'm almost out of jelly. It's really yummy. I'm drinking this apple flavor jelly. Mm-hmm. 10 calories. No wonder I'm not hungry. I treated it like a snack. I already had dinner. Anyway, back to the idea of my database of tasks and views. So I mentioned this concept of ceremonies, meetings, right? What are the different times that you're looking at your tasks? And that's how I created the various views of my database. So the first view that I have on my database is channel overview. Now, the ceremony I had in mind when creating this overview is yearly planning. When you're planning for the year, you know, what sort of stuff do I want to do in each sort of goal type, right? Hero, help, or hub. And I'm going to say goal type now. That's what the hero, hub, and help content is. That's goal type. We need to start giving it verbiage because it's going to get really complicated. So, for example, I'm going to try to verbalize this for you. It's a list. It's a list of tasks. And in this case, it's sorted by it's oh gosh, it's sorted by goal type. So I have it's listed here, help content, hero content, hub content. And then I have underneath the project type. So under hero content, I have original songs, cover songs, event streams, and underneath project type, it's the project. So for example, under cover songs, it's Feel Special. What else could I tell you that I'm gonna say just Feel Special for now because everything else in my list is something I cannot reveal. Oh, here we go. Genshin 4.0 theme viola cover. I think I talked about that. Or get Fontaine theme viola cover. It's I wanted to do a Fontaine theme for you all. And you all know that, but which Fontaine theme we don't know. What was I gonna say? So it covers under there. And then underneath project, you have tasks, and that's the lowest part of the database. So what I do is I go through here and I kind of create, it's a great way to see what's going on now, what we've completed this year. You could also set up a folder, I guess you could call them folder, for 2024 hero content versus 2023 hero content. And it's just a great way to see how much you've done, what you're working on right now, and how much left you have to do for the year. Let's see. Like absorbing feedback from various angles. Could you elaborate on that, Alex Tung? I think I might have missed that. I might have said something and then you asked your question and then I moved on. So to kind of review how I guess everything's layered in the channel overview, you have your goal type, which is help content, hero content, hub content. Then you have your project type, right? Under hero content, we have original songs, cover songs, event streams, long form videos. Underneath project type, you have the projects themselves, Feel Special, Genshin Viola cover, etc. And then underneath that, you have your tasks. So record vocals, commission mix, things like that. And I usually go through this if I need to review, what's in progress, what we haven't we started yet. You could have a version of this that's specifically for like a what do you call them? Like a stand-up. You can filter by things that are not started or in progress or blocked. Because if you're looking at all your content and you're looking at everything that you've ever completed or is currently in progress, it can get a little bit messy. So adding filters that can filter by status can really, bring it down to just the things that you need to focus on. So that is what I bring up whenever I have like touch bases with my manager or if I'm doing planning for the year and things like that. Then I have my personals, but I'm going to do three of these views. I'm going to go over three of them. My second one that I want to go over is my Kanban board, my personal Kanban board. And for those who don't know what a Kanban board is, it's essentially a view that shows you your tasks and their status. So it shows you what you haven't started yet, what's in progress, what you're waiting on for review or what you're waiting on from an external artist, and things like that. I also have subgroups on for due date, when something is due. So it's sorted by, oh, it's, yes, it's sorted by status. So each column I have not started in progress, things like that. But then I also have it subsorted by date, if that makes sense. You could add an urgency if you'd like, but I find that date is good enough for me. About using the data set from few minutes back. Yeah, basically, that's what views are. You're kind of looking at, it's different ways of looking at your data specific to a purpose that you have, right? Because you're gonna have different goals and purposes for looking at your data and having it arranged in a way that is most conducive to how you're using it at the moment. It would be helpful, right? So how I use my Kanban board is it helps me see what I need to do next. For Notion, just being a very, robust sort of tool, how I have it is I have the name of the card, right? The description. What do I do? Like finalize this event or write a proposal for this event. finalize event, finalize the date for this event is one of my cards. Share schedule on YouTube is one of my things. Create thumbnails is one of them. And then I have kind of like the project that it's part of. And that is a property. That's the great part about having everything in a database is that your tasks will have properties and you can view, you can show or hide those properties in any view, however you'd like. And I can kind of go over the different, I guess I can go over the properties of each task right now. So the most granular, I guess, item you have in the database, at least for me, is the task, right? We talked about this earlier. Content goal, right? The three H's. Then you have the project type. Then you have the project. Then you have the task. And each task is like a card, right? And each card has a set of properties that you can sort by, that you can filter by. You can have it easily viewed. Very helpful. But for me, I have date. And that's start date and end date. Is a Kanban board a program or a site? A Kanban board is a methodology, if I had to explain it. So many project management or organizational websites have Kanban boards as a concept. So for example, Trello is a Kanban board. But it's really just a framework or a methodology of, I guess, managing your projects to visualize your work. Yeah, is how I would describe it. Yeah. Yes, I'm looking in the replies. Thank you. Thank you. Of this tweet. That's correct. So going back to the different properties of each. I'm almost done, by the way. I'm going to finish talking about properties and I'll talk about my last view. And if you want to see what these look like, do tune in for the reschedule of this stream. Properties. So the first property I have on my cards is date, and that's start date and end date. The reason why is because it really helps you understand how long it takes you to do things. Right, when you're planning how long a project's going to take, you think to yourself, okay, how long is it going to take me to record? How long is it going to take for me to get this approved? How long is this going to take for like an artist to get back to me, right? And being able to look back and see, because for me, I set a tentative start and end date, right? But if, for example, I take a longer time to record or something's taking a little bit longer because it's the holidays and of course, naturally, people would want to take some time on the holidays to spend time with their family. That would be something I check with. Oh, I noticed that for this project, when you're doing your retrospective, you're looking back at your project. I noticed that like recording took a lot longer this time around. It took a couple of weeks longer, but then I can see why, right? Like, oh, it was around the holidays. I probably took time off. Things like that. So in the future, when you're planning how long something's going to take, you can have a better idea of how long it's going to take by looking back at your data, right? Because you can adjust the start and end date of your recording task, right? Similarly to that, do. I have a formula called do. Because when you haven't finished something yet and it's still in progress, the end date that you have in your date property is a due date, is a deadline. But of course, once you finish the task, that end date becomes the date that you finished it, right? But I create a formula called do, and it takes the end date from that sort of date property. And I use that for my timeline view, which I will tell you all what that looks like. Because unfortunately, Notion doesn't automatically sort things by end date. They sort things by start date, which is interesting, but it's pretty easy to create a formula for that. Assign is a really important one. If you have team members on Notion with you, you could actually assign people to it and they will get notified when things happen on a card. Very useful. I also sort things by assign. So for my Kanban board, I filter by only my tasks so I don't get cluttered in my head with tasks that don't belong to me. I can see what I need to focus on. Status is how I sort everything. So how I have my statuses sorted by, by idea. So if something hasn't been greenlit yet, but I don't want to forget it, I sort it under idea. And then maybe during a meeting or like a backlog review, I'll go through ideas and I'll either change them to backlog if they were approved, or maybe I'll change them to canceled if they weren't approved. Backlog is just anything that isn't immediately on my radar. I do go through my backlog every once in a while to make sure I'm moving things from backlog into not started. The group that I look at a lot is not started, in progress, waiting on external, and in review. That's just everything that's currently on the front of my mind. Everything that I need to work on. Not started and in progress are kind of like the more urgent ones. Waiting on external is nothing really I can do, right? There's nothing I can do about it. I'm blocked there. So I just have to keep an eye on it. But, you know, if I see something in that column, I don't have to worry about it too much when I'm working on something. In review is something that is in review. So again, something I can't actively work on, but I'm waiting on. So I have to just keep my eye on it a little bit. Canceled, if something is canceled. Like, for example, I almost actually canceled to that trivia, fun fact. I couldn't find people to do it, but then I was like, let me ask the Prism girls, and they were more than happy to do it. And that's a good reason why you should have a canceled one. Maybe something will be canceled, but then it won't become canceled, and, you know, you didn't delete it, so you can easily just change the status, right? But it's also good to have a review, right? Just to have it, like, oh, I remember that was an idea that we had that was canceled. It's good to still have those records, even if it's something that didn't happen. And then, of course, completed. It's always nice to go back. Maybe if you're having a yearly review, go look at all the things that you completed. But it's not really something you need to look at when you're working on stuff. Once it's completed, I don't sort by completed. On my Kanban, I usually just have not started, in progress, waiting, and in review. I don't need to look at all the things that I've completed. It gets a little bit jumbled if I do that. But that's my Kanban board. I use that for just day-to-day work, like every day or weekly is how I look at it. And the last thing the last view is my timeline view. So it's a calendar view. No, just kidding. This is my my timeline. So I guess it's a little bit similar to a calendar, but it's almost like a Gantt chart. For those who don't know, it's a G-A-N-T-T chart is how I would best describe it. And this is where you can see your dependencies. This is where I really hammer down one specific project. Because in the Kanban board, I'm viewing tasks for all projects in not started and status. But in the timeline view, I'm focusing on one project or maybe two or three projects that are connected. And this is where I look at dependencies and how long things are taking and any adjustments I need to make on dependencies. This is usually where I write out all of my dependencies. And when I say write out, I mean I connect all the arrows and things like that. And I can also see how long, I can visualize how long it is until the deadline or when the project is ending. So that's when I do this when I'm checking in. If something's taking a little bit late to finish, this is what I usually look at if I need to make adjustments to timelines, if I'm on track. If I'm not on track, what do we need to adjust? You know, what can we take more time on? What can we take less time on? So that's that third view. I have plenty of other views in my database, but I might just have to save those for another day because I think I've reached the limit of being able to explain things eloquently without visuals. So I'm gonna go ahead and open the floor to you all, my wonderful class. I'll take a couple of seconds, minutes, to wait for some tweets. In the meantime, I'm going to do another quick internet troubleshoot. Oddly enough, it doesn't seem to be my internet. It doesn't seem to be, but who knows? I'm doing some real hacker stuff right now. I feel like a hacker woman. There you go. I'm doing some troubleshooting real quickly. Odd. I'm looking at the data that's coming in. Are we chatting here in free chat? So in here, I think I said that just now in the replies of this YouTube space. So go right ahead. I think it'll help me too, just to have it all, you know, in one place. Yeah. I'm gonna go ahead and close my windows now. Maybe I'll treat myself to a nice late lunch or something. Late dinner. Oh my goodness. If this was a late lunch, that'd be kind of spooky. Shiny the TA. I just noticed someone called Shiny a TA. I guess so. I guess he is the TA. Ba-ba-ba-ba-bum. Allow me, allow me. Isn't that a Taylor Swift song? Da 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 da. Oh, I hit my phone. Da 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 da. Okay, let's check my questions. She's going to open the floor. I hope there's a pool. What level down? This is so random. But I saw this video of, like, YouTube recommended me this video of, like, this AI learning how to walk, and it's so goofy. And every single time they finish a floor, they, like, a challenge floor, the floor moves, and, like, it falls down into the next floor. We have a few VTubers here already. We'll give them the floor. Oh, my gosh, yeah, if there are any other VTubers or content creators that have any questions, do let me know. Honestly, I'm really impressed with the effort you put into all of your work. Personally, I feel like the idea of all that work laid out might overwhelm me. I will have to say, making the database and the framework was not an easy feat. It was something that I kind of just work on a little bit every day, but I don't know. It's my special interest, I guess. I don't know. I really like project management. I think it's really interesting. Yeah, and I'd love to just share my wisdom with you all. But I think one of the things that I really liked about it is just being able to connect my goals with my day-to-day. I think as someone who is very goal-driven and has a lot of big goals, I think it's important to me to not lose sight, if that makes sense. Hey, we didn't cut your space late. So sorry if this was already answered. No worries. But what tools, preferably free, do you recommend to facilitate project management? That is a great question. I mentioned this one a couple of times during today. Again, not sponsored. Notion. The reason why is I'm a database girly. And I think it can be as complex or as simple as you want it to be. And oh my gosh, if you're a VTuber out there and you want help setting up a database, if you want to check in for the actual, like, stream where I have visuals, I'll show you all how I have everything set up and what properties I have, what filters, what sorts I have. But really, it's the idea behind it is for the different ceremonies and meetings and things that you have, where the times where you sit down with different goals in mind, right? Whether it's a review with your manager, or you're planning for a project, you're planning for the year, or you're just trying to see what you're doing for the day, you have different things that you need to look at, right? And so you have to create a view that has the information that you need, but not anymore, right? You don't want to get overwhelmed. So you really want to tailor it for each experience that you have. So knowing how to have the right questions to ask your database, knowing what queries you're going to ask it, is very important. This is really nerdy, I just realized. But I don't know, if this is interesting to you, I highly recommend you look into databases and crafting queries. I think asking queries can be pretty simple, but it can also be beautifully complex as well. So I think I could definitely structure my database a little bit better. But it was really just something that I did on the side whenever I found time transitioning from Trello to Notion. So I didn't, like, sit down and create, like, a database chart, right? Do all the connections, like, you know, what's... Because it's just one database. It's not multiple tables connected to each other. There's not, like, those connections I have to think about. I like to incorporate some of this terminology to when I work with others in comic projects, even though we got by just fine so far until now. Yes! Oh my gosh! Thank you for bringing that up. This sort of stuff is applicable to a lot of different kinds of projects. I personally know at this concept of, like, how would you call this? I don't know. I know a lot about, like, agile methodology. It's something I've looked into a lot. But you can actually use this. I've actually seen this in a DevOps sort of sense, which is really, it's really interesting to see how it can go from something like, you know, software projects, right, into something like content creation, right? Because those are two very different things, right? you would think like, oh, you would probably have a totally different, I guess, framework when you're doing software development and content creation, but it's a lot of there's a lot of overlap. How usually software developers, or at least in agile software development, how you would structure it is as follows. So in content creation, as I've shown you, at least for me, I have it sorted by goal type, right? Hero, hub, or help content. Then I have project type, which is like cover songs, originals, things like that. And then underneath that, I have project, so like Feel Special cover, Genshin Viola cover, and under that, I have tasks. But in software development, you have epics. I don't know how do you define an epic? A large chunk of work that is segmented into smaller tasks called user stories. So you have epics, then you have features, and then under features, I think you have user stories, and then you have tasks. So it's very similar to that, but I kind of turned it into a like a cr content creator sort of edge to it. Let's see. Okay, I'm looking through. How do your project costs and timeline approximations per project? How do I do them? That's a great question. Let me actually write that down and save that for next time. Hold on. Because that's going to go into a whole new thingamabob. But I'll go ahead and answer that second half, the timeline approximations. Dependencies. So dependencies and making sure you update dates on your tasks. So obviously, you can approximate things if you haven't done them before, which is why it's so important to update your start and end dates for tasks. So when you're working on a task, you give it a tentative deadline, right? So you have a tentative end date. But as deadlines, approach or get pushed, or maybe you finish something ahead of your deadline, you need to adjust that date, right, to be as accurate as possible, so that when you come back, well, of course, as accurate as you want it to be, or you're able to as well. You can go back and look and say, hey, this took 2 weeks. Or like recording vocals took 2 weeks this time, it recorded 3 weeks this time. This time it took 2.5. So I can approximately say, if I want to be safe, let's go with 3 weeks. And then when you build stuff, when build projects, as you start to them, you can put your tentative. Okay, it took me 3 weeks to record that one time. Then I'll put it there. Also important, I mentioned this before, to put dependencies on things, because as deadlines get pushed, it'll automatically push your other tasks as well. And you can actually set, at least with Notion, not sponsored, you can set how your tasks change, right? So you can have it prioritize keeping the length of your dependencies. So when something gets pushed, other deadlines get pushed as well to keep that length of the task, how long it takes to take things. Or you can prioritize deadlines. So when you push a deadline, it can shorten how long it takes a task to finish, so that you can keep a deadline. But of course, you can go in and manually adjust as needed, but it's very helpful. But I'll go ahead and write that down. Oishizo says it feels daunting to take the first step in organizing everything you need to do. That is very true, which is why I did this in chunks. Because for me, I'm already a very, like, I have to be overly organized or else my brain doesn't work. So I already had something going with Trello. But it was, for me, the daunting part was moving everything from Trello into Notion. And how I did that is I did it slowly. So I finished projects on Trello, but if I were to start a project, I wouldn't start it on Trello, I would start it on Notion. So there was a period of time, about a week or so, where I apologize to my poor manager. We're going to be on both platforms for just a little bit. I prioritized trying to get new projects on a Notion, but once I was able to do that, I kind of started moving things that were maybe in progress over onto Notion so that we could spend as small of an amount of time stuck between two. But I think it was maximum 1 week that we had to switch between two, because change management is a whole other thing. And if we want to talk about change management too another day, I'd be more than happy to. And he says, I feel like I'm more process driven. Just got to make sure things go smoothly. Just ISTJ things. I don't know if this is an ENFP thing, but for me, it's more than just, I don't know. I feel like it's such an important part of communication as well, because not only is this a way for me to organize things, but I feel like it also helps me understand the process, right? What you need to have done and like what needs to be, what's dependent on something else, like what can you do concurrently, things like that. But it's also a platform for communication and having like a source of truth between me and other people who are working on a project, right? So, you know, whenever we need an update, we go and comment it on the card. If we need to know what the final say is on something, we'll go on the Notion, and that always has the source of truth. It's not anywhere else, right? It's not on Trello, it's not on Slack, it's not like in a random message board or something. It's a the one-stop shop for everything you need to know about your project and any communications related to it. Wow, I'm really rambling. I'm really passionate about stuff like this. I'm really passionate about what I do as a content creator, as you can tell. So, you know, finding ways, at least for me, my brain is really weird and I need to find ways to help it focus sometimes. So this is, I don't think I can function without like lists. I am a lister. If it's not written down on a list or if it's not on my Google Calendar, it does not exist in my brain. Let's see. Let me go to my comments. What's that one audio meme where it's like, time to check my comments? Oh man. I think you have a really solid organizational structure, not too complex, and keeps track of how you get things done in general. Yeah, very helpful. Of course, again, a lot of people look at this and they say, Rita, this is way too complicated. I'm not going to do this. You don't have to, is the beautiful part of it. It can be as simple or as complex as you want it to be. Time to learn Agile, but I do use a Kanban for work. It might maximize Notion moving forward. Yes, it's been very helpful, and I really hope that I can do my full lecture sometime soon so you all can see how I have it set up, and what queries I have for my database and what the different properties are. Envy says it's just like music theory. The way you operate is fine so far, so knowing how to structure your planning is better. Yeah, you don't have to understand organization, and yeah, it's similar to what I say about music. You don't have to know music theory to be a good musician. You don't have to understand grammar and syntax to be a good speaker in a language, right? You could be like a heritage speaker or something. You can be a fine content creator without you know, diving into the details of project management and you know, database management. I don't know, but it really helps you understand the different aspects of your process. And it can really help you, like, it can help you streamline things. Because with Notion, I also have things automated too. So save yourself some energy as well. Because it does take time to set it up, but the amount of time you save and effort you save, you know, avoiding miscommunication, avoiding misunderstandings, right? Speeding things up with automation. In the long run, you save yourself not just time, but you save yourself a lot of headache. But let's see. Thankful for this lecture. You're answering questions I had as you were going on. I'm glad. I'm happy to hear that. But I think I want to go ahead and wrap up for today. Again, so sorry for there's not really much I could have done. So sorry for the YouTube issues. YouTube has been really silly lately. There's not really much I can do about that. Huh. So thank you all for your patience, and thank you for hopping on to Twitter Space to follow along. I hope you found this very you know, informative. And if you want to hear the full lecture, do keep an eye out. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, that like button, all that stuff, on my channel so you can see when the full lecture comes out, with visuals and hopefully more of an outline as well. But as always, I'm the idol to give you the wings to fly, Cyber Angel Rita Camusero, at your service. And hopefully I can see you all tomorrow for evening. I actually have to move it to evening. I talked to Emma. We chatted. We need to move it. So not tomorrow morning. It'll be tomorrow evening with Emma. I'll go ahead and make an announcement for that pretty soon. But I'll see you all then. Hopefully, no YouTube silly billiness. Okay. Thank you. Bye.